If you like YouTube, you'll love YouTube Premium. Hi, I'm Sean Evans from Hot Ones, and I want to tell you about YouTube Premium. It has offline downloads, so you can watch without Wi-Fi. Background play, so you can lock your phone, and it still plays, baby. Oh, and it is completely ad-free. Yes, I said it, ad-free. Try YouTube Premium for 2 months free at youtube.com/premium. Trial eligibility varies. Terms apply. Cancel anytime.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
The cruise ship murder. That's the name that people have been using for this case, in case you are not super familiar with it. Anna Kempner is the victim here. That's the young lady who lost her life on that Carnival cruise ship, allegedly at the hands of her own stepbrother, Timothy Hudson. His defense lawyers just told a federal judge they can't get ready for trial. That's an interesting one to bring to the judge. What do you mean you can't get ready for trial? The reason is a string of words buried in the court filing. Very unfortunate family dynamic. Those are the defense's own words from a motion filed on August 24th. Now, I want to start here and let you know this is an opinions piece. This is conjecture, but there are certainly facts baked in, and we're going to be talking about all of this. But again, understand what this is as I kind of go off my rage train and explore just how crazy this case is and how the dynamics of it and the lack of accountability to which it appears Timothy Hudson was raised in and around and demonstrated by at least one member of his family, in my opinion, might have created the little fucking monster that did this. What they mean about not getting ready for trial is that the people who raised Timothy Hudson, the people who know his childhood, his mental health history, his medications, the home he grew up in, won't talk to his lawyers. His lawyers need those people for something called a Miller hearing. They're not saying like, hey, come stand up for him. They just need like by law, you are still technically his parent, Chantel, even though you've decided to completely cut all ties. And look, that's your call. If your son does that and you want to do it, I'm not judging and saying that abandoning your insane son is a bad idea. I'm just saying your lack of cooperation here doesn't make a lot of sense unless you're fearing that coming to do your part in this, which may, I from what I understand at this point, it's some paperwork. Unless, in my opinion, are you fearing that somebody might take a little bit closer look at the household that Anna was in? Are you fearing that some evidence might arise that doesn't look super great on you or your husband, or anybody in that house? Something that might get you in trouble, might get him in trouble, might make this whole situation look entirely preventable. And, I'm not saying it's criminal, but something that when light is shone upon might not be the legacy you want to leave as a parent. Maybe. I don't know. I'm asking questions because the non-cooperation thing here is kind of weird. A Miller hearing, let's talk about that. It comes from a 2012 Supreme Court ruling. The court said you can't automatically sentence a juvenile to life in prison without parole for a homicide. Before that sentence can be imposed, the judge has to consider the defendant as a child, age, maturity, mental health, family environment, childhood trauma, whether they can be rehabilitated. Notice some of those things there? Family environment, childhood trauma, things like that. Things like that that may require them to look into something or somebody that doesn't want to be looked into. Now, look, I get people sometimes push these things off because of fear, too. Even when there's nothing to hide, just, I don't want you to try and find something. Well, okay, but, you know, if there's nothing to find, there's nothing to find. Unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of smoke here, and where there's smoke, there's usually fire. And in this case, a possible raging 12-alarm inferno. So at least that's how it looks on the outside. The defense has to build a complete picture of who this person was before the crime. That means school records, medical records, mental health evaluations, and interviews with parents, teachers, counselors, anyone who can speak to the defendant's history. Timothy Hudson's defense attorney, Eric Cohen, compared preparing for a Miller hearing to the mitigation phase of a capital case. That's the phase where the defense team brings in everything it has to keep someone off death row. A mitigation specialist can pull records from the school district, but only a parent can tell you what was happening in the house. Cohen wrote that his team does not have the access to certain family members that would allow them to complete the investigation. None of Hudson's three assistant federal public defenders has ever represented a juvenile in federal court before. They're building the most consequential part of this case for the first time, and the people they need most won't sit down with them. U.S. District Judge Beth Bloom granted the delay. Prosecutors didn't oppose it. The trial moved from September to a two-week window, beginning November 2nd. The plea deadline is October 23rd. Cohen's filing said the defense needs time to advise Hudson about the options available to him to resolve the pending charges. The language signals a plea could be on the table, but a plea doesn't eliminate the Miller hearing. Whether Hudson goes to trial or takes a deal, the defense can't build the mitigation case without the people who know him. So who are the family members the defense can't reach? Well, Cohen was deliberately vague. He wrote in a footnote, and he was being vague due to the intense media scrutiny the case has garnered. The filing doesn't officially name anyone, but we can speculate. I can't say I know for sure, but we can speculate about close family that won't talk. You know, ones who've on the record in other filings have said, I can't put my marriage in jeopardy, essentially for the sake of my son, which is one of the most crazy fucking statements I've ever heard. But unfortunately, a lot of parents make those moves. Let me prioritize my relationship over here over my actual child's well-being. Not exactly maternal or parental, but, you know, narcissism does run wild. The public record from a separate custody battle between Timothy's biological father tells the story. The defense's five careful words we're trying to keep off the page. Chantel Hudson is Timothy's biological mother, which kind of makes this even more shocking. She married Christopher Kempner, Anna's father. That makes her both the mother of the person charged with the killing and the stepmother of the person who was killed. And they're still trying to manage this relationship, apparently. There hasn't been a divorce filing yet. They're still like, maybe we can make it. Maybe. Yeah. Three generations boarded the Carnival Horizon together in November of 25. Christopher, Chantel, Anna, Timothy, Anna's younger brother, Timothy's younger sister, and grandparents. The adults split three cabins amongst the group. Anna, Timothy, and Anna's younger brother were placed in a cabin 83-43 together. No parent in the room. So know that if you're on the Carnival Horizon anytime soon, 83-43 had a homicide take place in it. Just when you're like falling asleep, listening to the podcast in the room. I think something happened here. What is that all about? Oh, I can feel the boat moving a little bit. You ever fall asleep on a cruise ship and there's a little bit of rocking going on? It's like, oh, you know, either makes you seasick or you enjoy it. And you're like, oh, what, 83-43. Oh, shit, that's my room. Yeah. 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 I know. I don't know if they're still using the room, but I would say I might be asking for a cabin change if I'm just noticing that right now and I'm on the boat. Custody testimony alleges Chantel took the children on the cruise without Thomas Hudson's knowledge or consent. The cabin arrangement, who slept where, who was supervised and who wasn't, was entirely in the hands of the adults on board. Anna Kempner was found dead under the bed on November 7th. Her cause of death was mechanical asphyxiation. The killing allegedly occurred in international waters, which is why the case landed in federal court. Juveniles are almost never prosecuted federally. Timothy Hudson was initially charged as a juvenile on February 26th. 2 months later, federal grand jury indicted him as an adult on first-degree murder and a second serious federal charge. He pled not guilty. If convicted, he faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. In the first 48 hours after Anna's body was found, custody filings alleged Chantel was functioning as Timothy's mother. According to documents Timothy's biological father, Thomas Hudson, placed into the court record, Chantel texted Thomas that she'd spoken to Timothy at a medical facility. She told Thomas she'd said to their son, "I told him you and I love him." Within weeks, according to the same filings, that changed. Very, very conditional mother's love. Thomas Hudson's filings claim Chantel told him she couldn't jeopardize her marriage to help their son. Those filings allege the family wanted Timothy buried. Court records from the custody case show Chantel and Christopher expelled Timothy from their household. Now, look, if you got a killer who did this, I understand the expelling and you want him buried. I just have to say, it's interesting language. It's an interesting take. I probably would be feeling a lot of rage, too. I don't know. To me, it just feels a little bit, what do you say, protective? Not of, I mean, Anna's dad. Of one's own story, I guess you could say. Whatever that story may be, which I do not know the answer to. But it does feel rather... Let's circle the wagons. Timothy ain't in it. Oh, well, it looks like he's out there. I hear the wolves howling. They're hungry. Well, why don't we throw a little bit of meat out there and invite him on in? Well, our son Timothy's over here locked to the train tracks. Either the train's going to hit him first or the wolves are going to get him. We're going to sit over here and eat our beans. I guess if this were the Wild West, that's what would be going on. It's a little odd. It's a little odd. Can't say I've been in that situation, though, so it's hard for me to judge. I think that's always important. Think about that. I'd love to get your thoughts in the comments. Does this feel odd to you? Does this feel a little bit odd? We tell him we love him, and then we want him buried, and can't jeopardize your marriage to help your son. I mean, I get it. It's a crazy dynamic. You're married to the father of the victim. Your son is the one accused of doing this. And by all, you know, accounts here, it's pretty clear he did it. I don't know. That might just be time to wash your hands of that relationship and be like, you know what? We tried our best. Like, clearly the universe doesn't want this to work out. Your spawn killed my spawn, and now shit's gone awry. I don't know. I don't know how you're like, well, let's try and work this out. And we'll be all good. I don't know how you get there. Anyway, according to those records, neither has seen him since. According to those records, Christopher Kempner and his father, Chantel's husband, told reporters he wants Timothy in orange jumpsuit and handcuffs. The family that Timothy lived with for years closed ranks around its grief and locked him out. In the December 25 custody hearing, Chantel told the court she'd spoken to Timothy briefly after Anna's death. She said he keeps repeating over and over he can't remember anything. Whether that's true is a question for the jury. You know, as a parent, if you have a child with a mental health history, and by the way, his mental health history, his capacity for rehabilitation, the warning signs the adults around him may have missed, those are questions for the Miller hearing. I might be looking into a little bit deeper, is there some sort of mental health episode that went on here? And not to excuse it, but to try and understand your own kid. I don't know. I mean, call me crazy, but, you know, I'm all for abandoning murderous human beings that do horrible things, even if they're related to you. kind of like that. But when it's your own kid, I don't know, ask a few questions first. Just a thought. But again, to each their own. The person who gave that testimony under oath 9 months ago is now, according to the defense, unreachable. Unreachable, allegedly. Timothy's been in federal custody since mid-June when Magistrate Judge Edwin Torres revoked his pretrial release after the case moved to adult court. Torres wrote that the allegations present a danger that no curfew, monitor, or custodial placement can be trusted to contain. Hudson is being held at a juvenile facility in the Miami-Dade area. Court transcripts from a February detention hearing revealed he was Baker-acted after the ship docked. Witnesses described him crying uncontrollably. That mental health history is what a Miller hearing exists to examine. The detention order guarantees him access to his attorneys and to family visitation. His mother has the legal right to walk into that facility and see her son if she wants to. Nobody is stopping her, but according to the documented record, she has not. Thomas Hudson's biological father appears to be the one cooperating with the defense. He filed for custody of Timothy's 9-year-old sister after the killing. He put the text exchanges with Chantel into the court record, but Thomas wasn't the custodial parent Chantel was. She lived with Timothy, managed his medications, watched him grow up in the same house as Anna, at least for the short period of time that she's been married to the husband. Chantel confirmed under oath at a December 25 custody hearing that Timothy was on medication for ADHD and insomnia. She confirmed he had not taken the insomnia medication for 2 nights on the cruise, including the night before Anna's body was found. If she cooperates with the defense's Miller investigation, she has to answer questions about what else she knew. FBI agent Andrew Del Valle testified at a pretrial detention hearing that Anna's ex-boyfriend told investigators Timothy had tried to get into Anna's bed while she slept months before the cruise. Anna told her ex-boyfriend she was afraid of Timothy and hesitant to tell her father. Anna's aunt told reporters that Anna didn't want to go on the cruise and wasn't comfortable sharing a room with Timothy. Cooperating with the defense means walking into every one of those questions. What did Chantel know about her son's behavior towards Anna? What did Christopher know? Why did two unrelated teenagers end up in a cabin together without a parent when, according to the FBI's agent's testimony, one of them was allegedly afraid of the other? Got to save a couple bucks. Well, she could have stayed with Grandma and Grandpa. We gave her that option. Yeah, you know what? You're the fucking parents. You're the ones who can make the decision of, you know, my daughter has been complaining about this other kid here who happens to live in the house as her stepbrother, making inappropriate advances at her. And beyond that, allegedly, maybe the best course of action on the family vacation is not to put the two of them in a single fucking cabin together. I don't know. Call me fucking crazy. We gave her the option. You're the parents. You make the call. How about just don't ever present it as the only option? Because you know what? A lot of people are afraid. They're anxious. They're scared of what your reaction is going to be if you tell them no, probably because you have a track record of being a dick about it. And they may not necessarily speak up and say, no, I don't like that. I don't think that's a great idea. They think I'll power through this. I'll make it through it. I've made it through all the other stupid shit my parents have put me through. This is a cruise. What could possibly go wrong? They're not necessarily running through their mind, I might end up dead under the bed, covered in life jackets, strangled by the stepbrother. But you know what? Knowing the history, knowing the allegations that she's made, knowing what her ex-boyfriend has said, knowing what the FBI has said about that relationship dynamic between the sister and stepbrother, I wouldn't necessarily, as a parent, be fearing death if they're sharing a room, but I'd be fearing something else. Something else pretty freaking horrible. Nobody's going to see death. No, but I would certainly see R as a rather high probability. And it looks like that occurred, and then death. Again, you're asking people that don't seem to have a very good track record of decision making to at some point in their life start making good decisions. It doesn't happen like that, even when pressure is applied. Sonia Zisky, Chantel's own stepmother, Timothy's step-grandmother, went on camera and called for criminal charges against Chantel and Christopher for failing to supervise the children on the ship. She said putting those kids in a cabin together was a recipe for disaster. Those aren't questions about Timothy's childhood for a sentencing hearing. Those are questions about what the adults in the family knew, when they knew it, and what they did about it. Every answer Chantel gives to the defense could become an answer she has to give somewhere else. The defense didn't name her. The filing used five polite words and a footnote about media scrutiny. But the custody record shows who cut Timothy off, who chose a marriage over his son, and who has something to lose by sitting in a room with his lawyers. The plea deadline is October 23rd. The defense is 2 months. Whether Timothy Hudson takes a plea or goes to trial on November 2nd, the Miller hearing happens. The judge will have to decide whether a 16-year-old spends his entire life behind bars. The person whose testimony could shape that decision could walk into a visitation room at a Miami-Dade facility where the judge's own order guarantees her access. She's decided that what she'd have to say on the other side of that door isn't worth the price of saying it. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. You know, I like I said in this, I get if you have someone, you know, even your own kid, that I mean, the evidence is pretty clear cut what the fuck he did. I do totally understand disowning and walking away from that person. I do get that. What I don't get is the possibility of this being a mental health issue with the medication things that were going on and off. And I guess just the straight up verbiage that's been used here, I can't put that in the way of my marriage. Is that just the public thing you're saying out loud, or is that what you really believe? Because that's a weird thing to say out loud. I don't know. Give me your thoughts in the comment section, Substack and YouTube. I feel like there's probably a lot more to come in this case, but again, Chantel's never been charged with anything. The dad's never been charged with anything. They are victims to a certain extent here. I do agree with that. And being ignorant is not necessarily a crime. There's plenty of horrible, ignorant parents, and their children luckily survive. But there's plenty of horrible, ignorant parents where horrible things happen and they die. Again, not that they can be held responsible, but at least not in a court of law. But in the court of public opinion, which is here, the media scrutiny, basically everybody looking at the facts and going, yeah, bad decision makers. Well, that will live on in infamy. We'll continue the conversation in the comments. Links in the description. If you've not done so yet, take the podcast with you. The link to that, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, right there on the QR code. If you're watching us on YouTube, check it out or just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever you get podcasts. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.